You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Weeks off from now, but the first Thursday of every month, Brother Doug will be set up over here, and we'll be taking those applications and looking at those needs and telling you what you need to do and how we can help you with glasses or the examination. They both cost money, and that's something. Let me say this too, and I was glad to find this out. I didn't know this. But if you're in that process and you get released and sent home, he can follow up with it. That means you're still going to get your glasses. Okay? So anyway, thank you again for being here, Brother Charles, or I guess you're going to sing. All right. Okay. Miss Dolores is going to sing for us. And then after that, we're going to talk to you a little bit. Let me remind you, the first chord she hits locks the restrooms and the refreshment bar is shut down, and we will all stay in here for the next few minutes, okay? Thank you. May the Lord.
My Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seems so far. Cannot come to where you are. Then he came to me. And then he came.
Aren't you glad he does that? If he didn't do it, we'd never make it. Turn with me to the book of Acts tonight, chapter 16. The book of Acts is a historical book. Starts out with the disciples, ends with Paul primarily. And there's a super story in the 16th chapter. And if you do not have a Bible and would like to turn to the 16th chapter of Acts, if you'll lift your hand up, we'll get you one. Okay. They're coming around with them. Just keep it up till you get one. And our guys will get it to them. Now let me say this about the Bible. If you do not have a Bible in Odessa with you, please keep that one as our gift from the rec room to you. We'd love for you to have it. That's one of those things you don't want to leave home without. Yeah. Acts chapter 16. We're going to start in about verse 6. And let's just read it down through verse 31. And then we're going to come back and talk about it a little bit. But beginning with verse 6. And now when they had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Twice they tried to go some direction, and I don't know how this happened. I cannot tell you. But God stopped him. The Holy Spirit of God said, no, don't go there. One thing about Paul, he started a direction, and if God stopped him, he didn't just sit down and say, I quit.
All right.
I see people doing that all the time. Man, well, I was going to do this for God, and that didn't happen, so I just quit. Just get up off your butt and try it again.
Amen.
Notice this. And they, passing by, verse 8, Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in the city certain days. There's something about what we're reading about that has affected the whole United States right here. Had Paul gone the other direction he wanted to go, God sent him west toward Philippi, then probably the Asia would have been the Christianized nations and we would have been the non-Christian nations. As it were, going west, it was headed toward Rome and England and Europe. And it had an effect through all of history. Notice also he said that Philippi was a colony, that they were under Roman rule. It was a Roman colony. It was such a Roman colony, made up of Roman people, that there's not even a synagogue in the town. It's all Romans, very few Jews. And Paul finds them in verse 13, said, on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And evidently, there wasn't much of a group of people religious, and they were primarily women. Verse 14 said, a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Notice Luke is with Paul here. When he said us, Luke wrote the book of Acts. When you're reading the book of Acts and you come across us, sometimes it's them, which means Luke's not with them at that time. But at this particular time, Luke was with them. Now, he's not going to get in trouble with them like Paul and Silas are. But we see that he's there. Verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. We got a fortune teller. Have you ever seen a man fortune teller? I never have. They're always women. But the demon running them are men. Because look down at verse 17. Verse 18 is where we find that. But just verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And you'd think that would probably thrill Paul. He's getting some free publicity. But see, Paul understood that there's some folks you just don't want to be around. You don't associate with them, and you don't let them associate with you. One time we had some caps made for the rec room. Everybody in the world, I said, I'm not giving you a rec room cap until you walk straight for a year. Yeah. Well, I'm going to serve God. Well, we'll know about that this time next year. See? If you can't make it a year, I got a call today, and he said, he's having, first place, he starts telling about the problems between his wife and his girlfriend, and I know right off I'm talking to a spiritual giant now. And then he said, and my girlfriend really needs some help. And he said, I've talked to you before. Why are you waiting with all of this going on? I said, where are you going to church? Well, I go to church. I said, where? He told me, I said, were you there last Sunday? Well, no. I said, what about Sunday before? Well, no, but we've been having some problems. I said, that's why you're having problems. And we all of a sudden, when we turn to God, when things get too big, but most of the time, I think, you know, I used to tell God, look, you take care of the accepting China into the UN, but I can handle all the small problems. You know what I found out? My small problems become big ones. Yeah, it wasn't long, and primarily because I was the one handling them. Now, I can take a little problem and turn it into catastrophe in no time, man. It's amazing what that. But so Paul said, she's saying, these men are God's servants. They'll tell you the right way. They're good. And this she did many days. She just day in and day out. Here comes this wench, and she's right up shoulder to shoulder with Paul and said, you need to listen to these people. Notice verse 18, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. I want you to notice the next verse, next sentence. He said, come out of her. And he, not she, came out of her, the same out. And when the masters saw that their hope of their gains were gone, it's amazing. When he cast a demon out, she can't foretell futures anymore. Their money's gone and her pimps are angry. That's what they're doing. They're just pimping around. It doesn't have to be necessarily with sex. It can be a lot of different things. But they were making money off her. And it said there, when their master saw, verse 19, that the hope of their gains were gone, Now you've gone too far. Now you could preach all you want to. You can talk about Jesus all you want to, but now you're costing us money. You don't do that. And they drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews. See, racial problems are not new. The Bible only has two races. They're Jews and Gentiles. But he said, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And there wasn't one thing that a Roman couldn't do, because many of them got... Paul was a Roman, by the way. He was a Jew, but he was also a Roman. He was born in Rome. And the multitude, verse 22, rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they'd laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas griped and whined and said, this is not fair, and this ought never happen to us. What did he say? At midnight, Paul and Silas sang and sang praises and prayed. They didn't say, you don't realize how blue I am. You don't realize what a hard time I got. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've never been that good Christian to rejoice in getting whipped. The devil's crowd really got after Paul and Silas. They put them in. And by the way, let me tell you, in our America, we're getting closer and closer to these times. There are people that are being caused to go broke. They're losing their jobs. They're having a lot of problems. They're being ostracized just because they stand up for Jesus Christ. Not because they go off on some deal. Not because they are wild and crazy and going to occupy a fort somewhere. Just because they say, look, I'm a Christian and I don't do that. And the nation said, we don't care. You will do that. No, I'm not going to do that, and you will do that, or you'll lose your job. You'll do that, or you'll be punished. You'll do that, or you'll go to jail. You'll do that, or you'll be fined. And it's happening all over the United States, including Texas. We got all kind of things going on. They must have half of the Katy school district right out of Houston down there must have some Mormons on the board. I mean, some Muslims on the board. As many problems as I'm reading about every week, something comes up that they're making kids. We can't teach the Bible in school, but we're going to teach them the Quran. Something is wrong here. People are being punished. We've never had to suffer. We could be a Christian, and people might laugh at you, and they'd probably laugh at you whether you're Christian or not. See? There's a lot of things, many of my problems I caused them myself, just being dumb. But today we are facing that just like Paul and Silas. We're getting to the place that we're going to be punished for this. And when they turned him over to the jailer in the Roman government, if the jailer lost inmates, he paid with his life. Out here, we don't have that problem. But they did then. And so what he did, he took them back there and put their feet in stocks. When they said, you better not let this one get away, I'm going to tell you, he worked at that. They'd already beat them. They've got them in stocks now. Their feet are fast in stocks. And then at midnight, these two guys begin to sing. Now, I think that is probably fantastic, because some of you won't sing in the good time. I love turning around and watching people when we're singing. Many of you know the songs we sing at the rec room. And some of you hadn't been in church in 20 years. Church is not your place. But you remember when Grandma took you. When we were going into prison, we used to run a little questionnaire. Because there's millions and millions of dollars spent on religious TV. And there's millions of dollars spent on religious radio. And we'd ask the inmate, who first introduced you to the person of Jesus Christ, that you remember hearing the name of Jesus? And then we give them a multiple choice: TV, radio, a church, a relative, a friend. And you know, the two that were checked, TV was never checked. I cannot remember a time. In all the prisons we went in and asked that question, nobody ever checked TV. And maybe one checked radio. Everybody was just, and is either a relative. And when you ask, who is that relative?
Grandma.
I'm telling you, boy, there's some godly grandmas that planted a seed that was something else, baby. Let me tell you. And so there, people just, you know, don't want to sing, I don't like this. Here's people that are hurting, but they're praising God. Man, I'd have been whining, moaning. And suddenly, verse 26, while they're singing, and said the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Have you ever prayed for that? Man alive. Hey, every now and then somebody comes up and they've just learned this by prayer. They said, boy, when two or three agree touching anything, God's going to give it. And I said, you better study that a little bit more. That's why. And I said, well, every prison I've ever been in, I could always find two or three to pray for release. And nobody got released. See? But man, all of a sudden the earthquake came. And the prison was shaken. All the doors were open. They just flew open. And everyone's bands were loosed. Their shackles just fall off. Now, the keeper of the prison, that jailer's got a problem. The keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, verse 27, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Man, it's going to cost me my life. All these prisoners are gone. The Romans will have me. Caesar will take my life. And he jerks out his sword, going to fall on him. But Paul, verse 28, cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Nobody left. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Nobody left. Do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, he's not talking about his physical life. That's already been saved. What he's talking about is what Paul and Silas were praying and singing about. He's talking about, how do I get to heaven? And they said, notice they're in one accord, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. three miracles occur in what we just read. The first miracle is Paul cast a demon out of a little girl, probably saved her life. Got them in trouble, but saved her. And the demon left her. That's a miracle. Caused Paul and Silas a beating. Caused them imprisonment. A second miracle, earthquake. All of a sudden, goodness, that whole prison begins to shake. And the doors, you can just hear the clanging. Nothing, I guess nothing is more final than hearing that steel door shut behind you. Think about when they're swinging open. Man, here they are, just every one of them, like this. An earthquake got everybody's attention. The prisoners, the inmates, especially the jailer. Man alive, this is going to cost me my life. And the third miracle. The question, what must I do to be saved? The answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You realize this is the biggest miracle of all. It's not casting the demon out of a little girl. It's not even the earthquake. But here's a man that had he killed himself would have gone to hell. And this very night, he gets a solution to that in six words. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This is the greatest miracle there ever was. A lost sinner going to hell in six words can be turned around, headed for heaven. See, and God's still in that kind of miracle business. There's people in this room tonight that we have no right to be here. Our sins, many of us in here could have been killed by now and it would not have surprised anybody. We heard tonight one of the people that quite a few of us have worked with a long time was found dead last night in an alley. Was in jail last week. For the last 2 or 3 years, I've said, told him, if you don't stop this drinking, we're going to have to bury you. You're going to step out from a car, they're going to hit you, you're going to be rolled and because you stay drunk. I picked this guy up, brought him into town from the jail. And normally I don't pick people up walking back in from jail, but at that particular time he happened to be on crutches. And I was mad at him because he was out there anyway, and God kind of got on me, and I repented and turned around, went back and got him. I just don't let him walk, but went back, and he told me where he wanted to take him. This is honest truth. This was like at 12 o'clock noon. The next day at 1, he was back in Ector County with a PI. Now, this is, how many times? And when we talked about it tonight, nobody was surprised. Many of you, if you'd have been killed last year, nobody would have been surprised. It might have bothered them a little bit. They might have regretted it. We feel for this guy and his family. But it's nobody's surprised because we knew that's coming. Goodness. And yet, before that ever happened, if Jesus Christ came. I remember standing in a little church in Brownwood, Texas. I'd taken two guys with me so I wouldn't do anything I'm standing in that little church, and for the first time in my life, and my mama drugged me to church. I praise God. I thank her for that. I knew about these things, but you know what I missed? I never realized that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I knew Jesus Christ died on the cross. I thought the Romans just killed him. I realized that we ought to serve Jesus, but it had never hit me that Jesus Christ died for me. No, sir, we don't go anywhere. Jesus Christ died for me. And let me tell you, I remember saying, Lord, I can't quit drinking. And God, man, my witness, I was having this conversation as if we were both speaking aloud. We weren't. It was in my mind. But he said, I'm not asking you to quit. I said, Lord, I can't quit smoking. He said, I'm not asking you to quit. I said, Lord, I can't quit chasing girls. He said, I'm not asking you to quit. I named stuff that I didn't even think was sin. Finally, I said, and if this is truth, I said in my mind, what do you want then? And he said, Leland, I don't want you.
Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
And never will forget it. And I might have said this out loud. I stepped down that aisle and started to the front. And I said, here goes nothing. I didn't realize how big a nothing it was. And that night, I realized that Jesus died for me. And all I had to do was trust him. That's what he did for us, people. And you can be saved just like that. That if thou shalt believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The question, what must I do to be saved? The answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads. Nobody looking around, eyes closed. We're going to sing a verse of invitation in a moment. You're here tonight, and you're not a Christian. If they found you like they found the guy I just mentioned, your soul wouldn't be in heaven. And you're here tonight and you say, Leland, I don't want to end up like that. I want to go to heaven. I want my sins forgiven. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand wherever you are? Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to pray in a moment. Yes, sir, I see your hand. And yes, sir, I see yours, sir. Anyone else? Real quick. Yes, ma'am, I see yours. Anyone else? Real quick. We're going to pray. We'll not be here long. Anyone? Yes, sir, I see your hand. Anyone else? Our Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. You've also seen the hearts that a hand should have gone up. Now, Father, we just pray that at this very moment, your Holy Spirit will burden, will convict, and will bring that person to the knowledge that Jesus died for their sins according to the scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. We ask this in Christ's name. Would you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, nobody looking around. As Brother Charles begins to sing, step out on the very first verse. We'll have somebody to meet you here and show you exactly how to get to heaven. Come on, right now. Come on, right now. Step out. Let's go. You know what you need to do. Come on. Come on. Yes, sir. Come right on. Come on.
And that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
In a moment, we're going to sing one more verse, and one more song, whether anybody comes or doesn't. But you lifted your hand. You got that far. You know what you need to do. I can promise you, you'll never regret it if you step out tonight. I've never met anybody that's ever said, in my 81 years, I've never met a person that said, I trusted Jesus Christ, but I wished I had. Never met that person. I've met a lot of people, including myself, that said, I've done this, and I wished I had. But I never met anybody that said, I trusted Jesus, and I wished I had. As Brother Charles sang, step out, come and trust Christ tonight, would you? Come on, please do it. You lifted your hand, now come on. Come on. Through many a conflict, many a doubt, step out.
Many doubts, fightings within, within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for those that came, for those that are being counseled at this very moment. And Father, I pray for those that got part of the way. They lifted their hand, but they didn't go all the way with you. Father, tonight, before they leave this structure, will you help them to seek?
His name is wonderful, Jesus.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.